We are all in need of words of excitation, so it's with pleasure I ask Brother Jamie to deliver those to us. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, can you come to Exodus chapter 28? Because we're going to be in Exodus chapter 28 for the majority of the talk this morning, breaking off at certain points to look at some other verses which tie in to what we're looking at. So just to refresh our memory, in Exodus chapter 28, we have the description of the consecration of the high priests at the time of Israel, and we have the description quite in depth of how all these different elements were going to be made. And I'm sure if we ever seen a picture, we can actually probably picture the high priest's outfit quite well. The big thing with all the colours on his chest, all the stones, the blue long tunic. We can sort of get an image in our head, but if we actually read through, there are certain small parts in this chapter which are quite specific, which say, this is why you will make this like this, or this is why you will have this big plate full of coloured stones on his chest. This is why you will have this big gold plate attached to this turban he's wearing. And so at certain points, we'll just zero in on these specific things, because it gives real clear reasons as to why it should be like this. And then we'll use that to think about our high priest, the Lord Jesus, and really, again, just in depth, think about what these things mean to us, because the Israelites had their high priest, but this was only ever a foreshadowing, pointing forward to when all believers have Jesus as their high priest. But before we look at those, I said those are three specific things we'll look at, because specifically things that he wore on the shoulders, the big colourful plate he wore on his chest, and the turban with the gold plate on his head. We'll look at those three things, because they are three things singled out with specific details. But before that, let's just look at the context bringing us up to this. So, start at the start of chapter 28. Then bring near to yourself Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him, from among the sons of Israel, to minister as a priest to me. Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. You shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. So that this is the first thing, and it's repeated later on in verse 40, when it talks about Aaron's sons as well. It's the same phrase used. But here it's specifically about Aaron. These garments will be made for glory and beauty. So these garments, they were meant to be glorious. They were meant to be beautiful. They were meant to be something which would separate him out from the people of Israel. Because if you look at verse 1, it's already mentioned his sons with him from among the sons of Israel. So that's where they were. They were among the sons of Israel. They were part of the nation of Israel. But he says now we're talking about him as a high priest. He's going to be separated out. It says the clothes will be holy garments. Holy, of course, meaning to separate. So it's these garments are going to set him, Aaron, the high priest, and his sons apart from the people of Israel. And they're to set them apart, so for glory and for beauty. I think newer versions put for honour and for dignity. Sort of that's the idea of what it's trying to encapsulate. Something glorious, something you look at, it separates them, it gives them dignity, it gives them beauty, it makes people think there is something special about these people. Verse 3, you shall speak to all the skillful persons who I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, so that he may minister as priest unto me. So again, he gets all the skillful people, Bezalel, Aholiab, and all the guys that he's given all this this spirit of wisdom to, and says, you're going to be the ones who make Aaron's garments, that they may consecrate him. Again, sanctify him, set him apart. And the reason that he would be set apart is so that he may minister as priest to me. And then in verse 4, again, it describes the things, the breastpiece, ephod, robe, tunic, turban, sash, and it repeats it. They shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that he may minister as priest to me. So there it is again. These garments are holy, and the reason they need to be holy is because that is when he will be able to minister to God. So right at the start, it's setting out Aaron was amongst, and his sons, they were amongst the people of Israel, but now, if they're going to be priests, they have to be set apart, they have to be sanctified, and the clothes was one of the ways, because there were other ways as well, the certain dietary restrictions, certain things they couldn't do, but this was something very visible, something very clear, which the people could see clearly and say, these people are set apart, and the reason they're set apart is so that they can minister as priests. Minister, to serve. Their point was not just serving God, it was serving the people. They came to God on behalf of the people. They represented God to the people. They had to be holy so they could carry out this important part of bridging the gap between God and the Israelites, of bringing the Israelites to God so they would be accepted. That's why they had to be set apart. And then, here's the first part that we're going to look at, the shoulder pieces. So, we'll go from verse 9. You will take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel. Six of the names on the one stone, and the names of the remaining six on the other stone, according to their birth. As a jeweler engraves a signet, you shall engrave the two stones according to the names of the sons of Israel. You shall set them in filigree settings of gold. So they get these two stones. There were 12 tribes of Israel, representing all of the nation of Israel. Six names on one stone, six names on the other. And then, you shall put the two stones on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as stones of memorial for the sons of Israel. So they're going to be put here, and the people would see these two stones on the high priest's shoulder, set into the shoulders, very visible, for a memorial. So it was something that they would remember. Every time they see it, it's meant to spark something in their memory. Every time they see these stones and see the high priest, they remember. And it's as the priests remember. The high priest will put this on and see these two stones and remember what this is all about. And this is why Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders for a memorial. He's going to bear their names on his shoulders. Everything about them represented. They are born by him. He carries them wherever he goes. The nation is carried upon his shoulders. That's the first thing that would be in the high priest's mind. Wherever he's going around, he is carrying the nation on his two shoulders. He's bearing them up. The next major piece is this big colourful plate on the chest, which has, again, 12 stones, has a stone representing each of the children of Israel. And it was very specific when it's talking about how it's going to be attached. It was attached in four different places, the top and the bottom, tied to the ephod and tied to the girdle. The reason was, they didn't want it to move, it had to be there. So you can see that in verse 28. They shall bind the breastpiece by its rings to the rings of the ephod with a blue cord, so that it will be on the skillfully woven band of the ephod, and that the breastplate will not come loose from the ephod. It couldn't hang free. It had to be tightly attached, so it was really there against Aaron's chest. And why? Verse 29. Aaron shall carry the names of the sons of Israel in the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he enters the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. So it's the same thing, a continual memorial to Aaron and to the people as well, because they would have known what these were for. And every time Aaron went in to minister, he has got this plate tightly bound and tightly attached to his chest. And it's because it's the breastplate of judgment. And it doesn't mean judgment in the sense of a judge pronouncing guilty or innocent. It's talking about decisions, about judging and making the right decisions. And the whole point is that he is going to, whenever he's making decisions, he has got to have the people of Israel. He's got to have the nation of Israel over his heart. That is what is directing him. And this is where also the Urim and the Thummim were put. You shall put into the breastpiece of judgment the Urim and the Thummim. They shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. And Aaron shall carry the judgment, or the decisions, of the sons of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. So the Urim and the Thummim were these two stones, which it appears from what we can read that God would use. It was a way of communication where the two stones would be there and God could indicate, maybe by a yes or a no, when questions were asked as to exactly answers that the high priest needed or the people needed before God. And it was used in a number of different times to make decisions. So again, Aaron's going in, and this is telling us when it comes to decision making, when it comes to making decisions for the people of Israel, he's making decisions, he's interceding, he's ministering on behalf of all the people in Israel. The whole nation is over his heart. When he is making decisions, he is doing things for their best, for their good, for their the best way to bring them to God, the best way that he can represent them before God. That has to be in Aaron's mind as well. And the last thing is this on the turban, verse 36. You shall also make a plate of pure gold and shall engrave on it, like the engravings of a seal, holy to the Lord. You shall fasten it on a blue cord, and it shall be on the turban, and it shall be at the front of the turban. So, again, very clear, on this turban, they attach tightly a gold plate which says, holy to the Lord. And it's on the front, it's spelled very specifically on the front, on his forehead. It's there to really stand out and show that on his head it has to be holiness to God. But there's something extra about this. This isn't for a memorial. There's actually something very specific about why this had to be here. And the fate of the nation of Israel depended on this plate being on the forehead of the high priest. So, verse 38. It shall be on Aaron's forehead, and Aaron shall take away the iniquity of the holy things which the son of Israel consecrate with regard to their holy gifts. It shall always be on his forehead, that they might be accepted before the Lord. So, again, this plate being here was so that they would be accepted before the Lord. If Aaron was wearing this plate of holiness, God says, I will then accept the people's offerings. I will accept them before me. So those three things, they're mentioned. And to the people of Israel, it could be very easy just after a while to think, well, that's the gold plate that the high priest wears. We know about it. Yeah, he's got these colourful stones. It looks quite nice. But it's something which, you know, maybe just faded out of their memory. Maybe even out of the high priests. By the time we got down, certainly to Eli, Hophni, Phinehas, going on that way, maybe no one really remembered why these things were there anymore, what the purpose of them was, what the import was. But the reason they've been recorded for us is because it's showing what the children of Israel should have remembered, because whenever God mentions something, it's mentioned specifically for a reason. He wants us to have this so we can think about it in relation to our high priest and think, what does this mean for us? And I think the first place I think we should go is to Isaiah chapter 53, because there's very specific language in Isaiah chapter 53 which makes us think of the high priest and bearing on his shoulders, bearing the people on his shoulders. Isaiah chapter 53, and the same thing comes time and time again. Verse 4, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. And also verse 11, at the end of verse 11, my servant will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. And at the end of verse 12, he was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. If we want to think about someone bearing our names on his shoulders, bearing us up, that's what we should be thinking about. This was something which Aaron was wearing, these two stones, maybe something they didn't think that much of. But what it was pointing forward to was to us being carried by the Lord Jesus on his shoulders. Our sins, our iniquities, everything that we've done wrong, being put upon him. That was the weight he bore, a weight so much more than two stones, bearing the sin of the world and taking that sin to the grave with him, and now constantly bearing us up, holding us up, being that inspiration to us. Two stones to the high priests in the days of Israel, but think about everything it means for us. It's something we can never do what the children of Israel did and forget it, and forget exactly what was born on the shoulders of the Lord and what still is born on the shoulders of the Lord as he carries us, as he helps us. And then, of course, you've got this plate with all the coloured stones on. Something which was to show Aaron that the decisions that were made, the intercessions that were made, were meant to be made with the people of Israel in mind. And of course, that's exactly the same mindset that the Lord Jesus had. Come to John chapter 17. And John chapter 17 is referred to often as the high priestly prayer, because it is, and there's so much information in there. Jesus, the language he uses, it's rich from the Old Testament, as the high priest who is having the disciples come to him as the Levite. So there's good reason why it's called the high priestly prayer. And he talks about this, about his devotion to these people that he's with, his to his disciples. And let's read, first of all, verse 12. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them perished except the son of perdition, that the scripture would be fulfilled. And look at verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. It was the high priest's garments and some rituals under the law that set him apart from the people of Israel, that sanctified him. The Lord Jesus, he set himself apart. He sanctified himself by his conduct, by his action, by his word, by his devotion. All of these things, he sanctified himself so that we could be sanctified. He says, I'm doing this all for their sakes. Every decision he made, every word he said, everything he did was for our sakes. It was with us in mind, us over his heart. So that every decision he made was for our good, for our sanctification, that we could not be separate from him, but we could join him. As he'd been separated out, he then gave us the way that we could likewise come to him and be joined with him in holiness. So again, it may have just been a breastplate with some coloured stone into the Israelites. It can never be that to us. It's talking about every moment of his life, everything he thought, done, planned, meticulously and lovingly for us so we could be sanctified. And then finally, of course, we've got this plate on the forehead with holy to the Lord. And the whole point about this was, unless he had this holiness to the Lord, then the people would not be accepted before God. And in the Bible out this morning, we talked about the ability to be accepted by God, to be considered righteous by God. And the one thing we said was, it's not because of anything we've done. We aren't good people. We can't make ourselves good. We aren't holy. But there was one person who was holy. And that's why it was on the forehead. It symbolizes, it's right there at the front. Everything about his thoughts, everything that he was doing, the whole focus, and which everyone would see, was that he was holy to God. And because he was holy, that's why we're accepted. Not because of anything we've done, not because of any goodness we've got, but because his holiness, we're allowed to take part in it. Let's come to Romans chapter 3. And again, Romans chapter 3 is using this language of undeserved favour, of grace given to us by God. Romans chapter 3, and we read these verses this morning, didn't we? Verses 21 to 24 in Romans chapter 3. But now, aside from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but are justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And just to finish the thoughts on this, in Colossians chapter 1, we see a similar principle. If we'll come to Colossians chapter 1, again, really emphasising to us this this acceptance before God. So Colossians chapter 1 and verses 21 to 22. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy, blameless, and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast. So there it is. He will present us holy and blameless and beyond reproach because he reconciled us in his body through death. It's the same thing, isn't it, as this holiness. Because of what he did, his holiness, which culminated in him dying on the cross, this really made sure that we could be accepted before God, that we could be presented holy and blameless and beyond reproach if we have faith and remain in him. And that is essentially what we're just going to look at this morning. It's very, very simple, but as often, some of the most simple things in the Bible are the most profound. There's some clothes which the high priest has to wear so he can show that he is separate from the people of Israel, so he can bring them to God. He can bring them to God and he can make them holy before God. And that means so much more to us, doesn't it? It means that we have a high priest who was amongst us. He was a human being. He had the same temptations, the same struggles, the same problems that we had. But he willingly sanctified himself, not by being given any special clothes, but by saying, I'm going to come to do your will, God. I'm going to separate myself, and the only reason I'm going to do it is so you, my followers, can all be separated. I'm going to be the one who's always thinking about you with you over my heart. Everything I do will be for that purpose, even to the point of taking your sins, all of them, on my shoulders and being holy so that you can be accepted before God. And because of that, we can stand here now in confidence and in faith that God does accept us because of our faith in him, because our high priest sanctified himself and now he ministers to us and presents us to God. And of course, that's why we gather together to take the bread and the wine, because when we take the bread and the wine and think about his life, his death, it sums up everything that he's done. It means we can do it together and rejoice together. So let's do that now. Let's take the bread. Let's take the wine. Let's think about this. Think about what our high priest does and still does for us. And let's just rejoice in the fact that we can be presented blameless before God.
Brother Michael will now offer our thanks for the bread.
Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we bow before thee with humility and reverence and godly fear, knowing that thou art in the midst of us as thou hast promised. We thank thee for this illustration of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ in the bread which is upon the table. We recognise, O Lord, that thou hast provided this for our eternal welfare and for our daily life, because when we think of Jesus, who was the living bread who came down from heaven, we are grateful that we can absorb by thy grace and mercy his character and his life in our lives, and we may put thee in our lives as the most important essence as we walk towards thy kingdom. We thank thee that this bread represents our Lord Jesus when we think of his life of obedience and dedication and wondrous faith in Thee, the Almighty. And we pray that as we partake of this bread, we may realise how wonderful Thou art and how gracious are Thy acts toward us, and that Thou wilt keep us in Thy loving care day by day as we seek to absorb His character in our lives and honour Thee and try and work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, we thank Thee for this bread and all that it means to us this day, and ask Thee to accept our thanks and praises. Through Jesus' holy name we ask this. Amen.